Hello and welcome to Sangam Lit. This is Nandini Karki, and in this episode we perceive the activities of a young man courting a girl by the seashore as portrayed in Sangam literary work Natrinai 349 penned by Meelai Keelar Nalvetanar. Set in the coastal regions of Nadal, the verse speaks in the voice of the man passing on a pointed message to the confidant listening nearby. கடுந்தேர் ஏறியும் காலின் சென்றும் கொடுங்களி மருங்கின் அடும்பு மலர் கொய்தும் கைதை தூக்கியும் நெய்தல் குற்றும் புணர்ந்தாம் போல உணர்ந்த நெஞ்சமொடு வைகளும் இணையம் ஆகவும் செய்தார் பசும்பூன் வேந்தர் அழிந்த பாசரை ஒளிருவேல் அழுவத்து களிறுபட பொருத பெரும் புன்னுறுணர்க்கு பேயை போல பின்னிலை முனியா நம்பையின் என் என நினையும் கொள் பரதவர் மகளே. The verse opens with Kadundher Eriyum, meaning riding fast chariots, and brings to fore the swanky cars in the Sangam era. Thereafter, we encounter Adumbu Malar or Beach Morning Glory flowers, Kaidai or the Pandanus tree, known for its fragrant flowers, and Nadal or Blue Lotus. In short, a bouquet of the choicest flowers by the sea. From this sensually delightful locale, the scene shifts to Vendar Alinda Pasare, meaning a battlefield where kings have been destroyed. In tandem with this somber mood appears Perum Punnurunar, or those who have searing wounds, in the company of Pe'e, or demon spirit. Starting in a romantic mood, the song has then ventured into the horror genre, ending with Yen Yena Ninayum Kol Paradavar Mahali, meaning what could be in her mind, that daughter of fisher folk. The verse beckons us within the heart of the verse. The man had met the lady in a seashore grove and fallen in love with her. The lady too reciprocated his feelings. In spite of these positive developments, the man knows well that unless he wins the confidence of the confidant, he cannot make headway in his relationship with the lady. Although the man has been attempting to convince the confidant, she shows no sign of accepting his request, and this is because the lady has not openly declared her love for the man to her friend, owing to her innate shyness. In the midst of these circumstances, seeing the confidant pass by, the man speaks to himself saying, "Riding speedy chariots and walking on foot on the paths in this curved marshland, I picked Adumbu flowers for her, bent the branches of the Kaidai tree, and also plucked blue lotuses. My heart delighted as if I were one with her, and this has been happening every day. In a battlefield where kings wearing rich gold ornaments and well-woven garlands have been killed in a sea of spears, and where behind fallen warriors with deep wounds who have battled such that even elephants are destroyed, a demon spirit stands in protection. Akin to that, I have been walking behind her without grudging the state. I wonder what she may be thinking, that daughter of fisher folk." With these words, the man clearly states to the confidant that he knows the lady well and places a forceful request seeking the confidant's help in furthering his relationship with the lady. Now for the nuances. The man starts by talking about how he arrives riding fast horses, and this is a marker for the affluence of his family, and then he lowers himself on foot to do the bidding of the lady. This turns out to be choosing the brightest beach morning glory flowers from the vines and then curving the branch of a pandanus tree so that the lady can pick its flower, and also wading into pools to pluck blue lotuses for the lady. After mentioning all these activities, he expresses the joy he felt in doing this for the lady and adds that this has been happening day in and day out. Then you hear a subtle "and yet." Following the trail of the sigh, we find ourselves in the middle of a raging battlefield where you see kings, well decked with jewels and garlands, falling to the ground on one side, elephants being felled by spears on the other side, and the most striking image of all, that of a demon spirit standing behind fallen warriors who have deep slashes on their skin. The man mentions this act of the spirit standing behind a wounded warrior to equate to the way he has been walking behind the lady at her beck and call. He says he does not mind the state of lowering himself for the one he loves and finishes wondering, in spite of all that he does for her, what was truly in the lady's heart. Although the man seems to be talking about the lady and his pursuit of her, he is in fact referring to the way he has been lowering himself and beseeching the help of the confidant to no heed. In the scene from the battlefield, the man remarks how when there is no one to help a wounded soldier, even a demon spirit takes pity and stands in guard, whereas the confidant was so unrelenting, even though the man was in such a state of love for the lady. He intends to strike at the core of the confidant's heart and win her over by revealing his adoration for the lady and chiding her for not having the kindness of that demon spirit. Wonder if the verse is indicating a belief in the supernatural, or could the terms have meant something else entirely? Whatever be the truth, one thing is certain, and that is death and destruction on a battlefield. Hope humanity learns more elegant methods of resolving conflicts without resorting to the devastation of war. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and minds. Please visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts and do rate and review Sangam Lit on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, Nandri Vanakkam.